You're listening to Youth Voice on 90.7 KSER.
Yes, you are listening to Youth Voice. I'm your producer, Nate, and here's Troy. How you doing, Troy?
I'm doing really good.
Cool.
That was an excellent intro. Is that new?
No, that's one of our old ones.
It's a quick and dirty one.
To the archive.
And pulled that out.
Yep.
Very entertaining. Some old voices from the past. Heard a little Aja on there. Heard a little...
Troy.
Little Troy, yeah. Yeah. And I also heard a little... Josh.
Yep. And some other people.
Jessica.
We don't remember.
And then some other nameless folks.
Some folks that just showed up for one show.
Yeah.
That was it.
A lot of fun. We got to do that again. We got to get everybody into the studio and record a new intro.
So look for that.
Look for that coming up.
Coming month.
Yeah, in the coming month. Absolutely. Welcome to another episode of Youth Voice. I am in a room filled with some of the most intelligent, superior teenagers on the face of the planet. Right, kids?
Yeah.
All right. I need interaction here. Right, kids?
Yeah.
Jeez, did you hear them? They're like, yeah, we're real smart.
They sound really enthusiastic today.
We did actually have a very enthusiastic meeting where we came up with some very interesting questions. It began as a discussion around what inspires you. It turned into a discussion about who are you? Not just who you are as an individual, but who you are as it relates to society, who you are, what do you think about your generation, the state of things today. All kinds of really good stuff. I think we'll have a really interesting conversation around intuition as well. I want to start it off with this question, and I'm hoping you all rush to the microphone to answer it. Do you have moments when everything is right in the world? Moments where everything is just as it should be. You just feel content.
I got to the mic first. So
You did. Do me a favor, kids. When you come up to the mic, don't touch it because it makes a lot of noise.
But okay.
That's all right, though. Share with me.
Yeah, I guess, like, there are times, depends, like, if I take my medication or not. No, I just wait. But, you know, there are times, like, when I wake up in the morning, I'm just like, damn, it's so cool to be me. And it's just, there's, you know, I have my moments and, you know, everything's going good. And it usually makes everything, like, a happier day. I'm usually happier towards people. And
what do you think happens to you that creates those moments? I mean, do you feel like you create them, or are they created due to some other sort of factor?
It's usually like me, like with the whole school thing, because I haven't been in school forever. So Friday I was really happy because, like, I yelled at my principal until he enrolled me back in school, and so I was happy about that. And I got
so you kind of felt like you were getting taking care of business.
Yeah, like if things get done because I, you know, make people do them for me, then I'm like really happy because, like, you know, a motivator.
Well, I get it. Okay, so when you break through obstacles and get things rolling.
When things work out for me and I know that I was the one who got it to do that.
That's
pretty
nice.
Happy. Yeah.
That's very, very nice. So would you say that those days that you, when those moments are, those right moments when you're experiencing those, are you more in control of making that happen or less in control and it's sort of about environment? Kind of a...
No, just like, yeah.
Yeah, you're in control, you think? I mean, do you create your own happy moments?
Yeah, I would have to, yeah, because a lot of the people around me are pretty negative. And when I ask my friends, like, how they picture me, they say I'm pretty optimistic. So, yeah, I'd have to say that a lot of times when I'm happy is because I had to make myself happy. And
right.
I'm going through a lot of things right now to where I have to make myself happy or else I'm, like, never going to be. So,
right, right.
Yeah.
I hear you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hello, my friend.
Hi. Like, the only time that I think I'm really, really happy is, like, when I wake up really, really late on one day and I just, like, get to lay in bed forever and I don't have to deal with anybody because, like, it's really nice. It's really relaxing.
So when you have that moment to yourself to just be able to relax and no pressures, no demands.
Yeah, it's like now I have to wake up, you know, throughout the night because of my son, and it's like I wake up at 5 and he wants to play and it's like... I want to hurt someone, and if I get
I mean, you're joking. We don't. I mean, we want to make sure not to give anyone the wrong impression. You're a wonderful mother and a very nice person.
Yeah, I'm not.
But
talking
it's
about
just you get frustrated.
Yeah, if someone like comes in and asks me to do something, it's like all of a sudden my face shifts from being like this nice happy girl to like
this monster.
This I get like devil horns and like this big red tongue, and it's just like. Yeah, I mean, that's like the only time I'm really happy is when I get my space and people leave me alone for a while. When people come in and I'm trying to relax and they ask me to do something, it's like automatically they just like move into devil woman.
The demon comes out.
Yeah, I
right.
can't help it.
I hear you. So, do you think are you a better person? Are you more productive after you get that moment of peace? Or do you just want that moment of peace to last forever?
A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
There you go.
It just depends on, you know, how I'm feeling. I mean, sometimes just like I don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit there forever and ever. And sometimes just like once I get that moment alone, it's like, great. You know, I'll go and I'll do my thing and I'll get everything done.
Right. So. Right. I hear you. Very important to take some time for yourself, don't you think, Lena?
No.
So tell me. Do you have those perfect moments in life?
Yeah, like a lot of those moments when I stop and I just go, oh, wow, I'm busting inside because everything's wonderful is when it's usually based around interactions that I've had and the connections I've made with people. Sometimes you can be talking to someone who the day before you would have been talking with just joking around, but the next day, for some reason, it means something 10 times more.
More of a connection, more of a click, yeah.
Or like you realize that this is something that you really need it, or you're gonna benefit from having this person in your life, or like compliments you get, like when you make a week happen for you, like this week was a good week for me, but there was also really hard things, but I still like completely came out on top, and I feel like I've got things in control and I know what I'm gonna do and blah blah blah. And it's like when you make things happen for yourself and when you have those moments with people, then it's 10 times more happy and blissful and all that jazz.
I hear you. Absolutely. Yes, Jeff.
Hi, my name's Jeff, and I have a problem.
You do have a problem.
People tend to make me happy.
I hear you. So you have those perfect moments in life, sort of like what Lena said. The interactions with people are what sort of builds you
up. Yeah, and it's also like people make me happy but can really irritate me. But like we were talking about earlier, you know how you said about furious? People don't make me furious. They upset me, you know, a great deal sometimes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me, like, want to hurt them or anything like that. You know, sure, I think about it, but I never act on it.
But it
know?
Definitely colors your mood, and it sort of colors your interaction with other people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if someone sort of torqued you off and you're walking through your day, you're not necessarily, potentially not being the best person you can be, right?
Yeah, there's this one girl in art class who really, you know, I was just playing around, not even talking to her, you know? Excuse me. And I said something, you know, that was directed to my friends. It wasn't even like a derogatory comment to anything. It was just, you know, whatever. And someone said like, oh, who said that? And then this girl goes, oh, one of those freaks over there. And I was like, okay, I may do my hair different. I may dress different than you, but, you know.
But it sounds like she sort of wrote you off. I mean, you know, you're a human being, regardless of what your hairdo's doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like everyone else, and everyone else is just like everyone else. I mean, physically, it's just like, you don't need to be like, you know, discriminative because the way someone dresses or something like that. Or,
well, and
you know,
I think that when you strip away all that stuff, you're still dealing with a human being with feelings and the whole deal. I mean,
and then she brought like all this race stuff into it, and like, oh, I wouldn't have got into that. I would have gotten in trouble if I was white. And I was like, it's not even like that, you know. I hate people. I mean, this is one of my pet peeves. Okay, mm-hmm. I hate it when people say that. Because
as far as what? I mean, I
I wouldn't have got away with that if I was white or black. All this racial discriminating BS. I mean, it's garbage.
But that's a tough road. That's a tough area, because the reality is that there are some inequities in the world, and some of those inequities are based on people's perceptions of those folks of color, those folks who are punk rockers that have crazy hair that do cause trouble.
Yeah,
that sort of give a bad name to kids that want to sort of fall into that genre. I mean, there is discrimination that goes on. There is that kind of stuff, and there is sort of a dichotomy between the races and how people are treated. And how do you deal with that? And how do you function when you've got those things happening? Do you just sort of pretend they don't happen, or
no? It's more like that. These people, you know, they'll say something because of their past experiences when they have no idea who I am and no idea that I don't discriminate and have no idea that I'm totally not racist. And by them saying that I'm like racist or the teacher's racist or something, then that just irritates me.
So you think that we're living in a day and age where people can afford to give folks the benefit of the doubt?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, that one instance just ruined my whole day.
Right.
And that was
right.
Sick spirit. I was having a great day.
So tell me about why that ruined your day. I mean, did it ruin your day because
I was hurt by it and upset that we're still holding on to grudges from the past, like from 50 years ago, 100 years ago, you know, from way back when. I mean, I joke around with my girlfriend about she's Irish, you know, she's evil, she's Irish, you know, just joking
or
around.
Or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of jokes that, I mean, my family's Irish as well, and there's lots of jokes about drinking or lots of jokes about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, the same can be said, I'm Norwegian, right? And the same can be said about me. You could be saying like, oh, your ancestors raped and pillaged because they were Vikings. Well, yeah, what's your point?
But I think, Jeff, I do think that there is some merit to the concern that folks may have around discrimination and those sorts of things, that perhaps in some arenas we take it too far, the whole politically correct sort of response to those sorts of things. But the reality is that some of that stuff still goes on. Racism is still alive. There are still people who are narrow-minded and bigoted. In our neighborhoods, in Snohomish County.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's really tough. It's sort of tough to say, yeah, I'm going to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. And I'm purely speaking from sort of impression, because I'm not a person of color. So I can't imagine. I've never been in a situation where I felt like I was being picked on or excluded because of my color. So.
Well, I got it. I don't mean to hog the mic here. But when I went down to New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
which is a state, for all you that don't know. It is a state. It's south. It's, you know.
You know, we're issues and education, really.
Yes. Anyways, I went down there, and there's, like, you know, we went into this, like, Native American tribe, and they treated us so kindly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just great. I mean, we were minorities.
Right, right. But I was the minority. But you felt welcome, and you felt.
Yeah, and they were so nice to us. You know, I mean, I just don't know why that, you know, we can't do the same up here, but they can do it down there. You know, it's amazing.
Very, and I think it's a very difficult discussion. It's almost a show within itself, and I think what we should do as responsible citizens of our community is identify those issues and talk about it on another show, basically dealing with racism, not just racism, but the issues that we face here in Snohomish County, because I know that interaction with the Tulalip tribes in Marysville is a big deal. I know that there's a lot of friction in the Marysville School District around that between the kids. And that's understandable. I mean, you know, I mean, I hear it, and it's also verifiable. It'd be interesting to explore that. But it also has a pretty large effect on how you define yourself when you're interacting with those people.
Yeah.
And the role you play in that friction.
Yeah, and that's just one example of the who are you? It's, you know, what ruins your day, what makes your day good. That ruined my day. To hear one of my friends of color say, you know, I really respect you, which he does quite often, you know, it's really nice. It's just like, you know.
Right, right.
Even though there are some people who can, you know, just totally go at you for just being a different race or wearing different clothes, you know, there are those people out there that, you know, they just like you for who you are, and
right.
Clothes and color don't even matter.
Yep, I hear you. I hear you. Thank you, sir. How you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Good. Very good.
What was the question again?
The question. No kidding. Jeff kind of went everywhere.
Lifted discrimination somehow.
Yeah, but it applies in one way or another. Do you have moments when all is right in the world?
And moments.
What happens to make that work for you?
I don't know, I'm generally a happy person. There's like, well, first thing, like laying in bed. I like to be alone.
You like that time really just happy, to sort of chill out?
I'm alone. And generally, being around my friends, I know that I can be in the worst of mood, and there's like maybe four of my close friends that,
hanging
even if
out
I'm mad
them.
At them, still feel real good and
great.
Feel at peace.
Great. I feel comfortable, just feel like you're hanging out with your
and even
homies.
Even if I can't take that, I know there's always music I turn to, and put on the radio and grab my guitar and just sit there and chill.
And you chill out?
Yes, I chill out.
What's up?
That's what cool. up, B?
No, that's great though. I mean, I think that that's a very. I mean, those are moments that you have sort of create for yourself, or you surround yourself with those sorts of people that help you get those moments that are just perfect.
Yeah, I'm like really happy guy, so I mean, I could be.
That's
down
a plus too.
Still, I mean, it takes a lot to get me really like, I don't really care anymore and stuff like that.
Right, right, right. Very nice. Thank you for sharing.
That's my story. Thank you.
I enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good job, Chris.
Hello.
Hello, my friend.
My favorite thing to do is to lay around.
You like that?
I love to lay around.
Just be lazy.
It's the greatest thing in the whole world just to sit.
Just to sit,
yes.
Hang out, no
and
expectations.
Relax. Don't have to worry about cleaning or going to school.
But here's the question. Well, going to school. Here's the question I have for you. Do you do that sort of stuff at the expense of the stuff that falls under the R word, the responsibilities?
Well, I have my relaxation time, but then I take the stability and the creative energy I get from that and direct it at, unfortunately, school. I wish I could direct it at something else, but.
But, you know, school's a short period in your life.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's
but it's like interminable right now. It just goes on forever and ever, but I don't know. I feel good at the end of the day when I did, like, the best I could and got myself out of bed and. So I feel good when I do that, too, because even if I don't want to get out of bed, it makes myself feel good when I do it and get things done and try my darndest and yeah.
Try your darndest.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Very nice. Okay. Thank you for sharing. Yes, ma'am.
Wow, this is really high up here.
I know.
I'm tippy toe woman right now. But yeah, my favorite time when I'm completely at peace is when I'm coming home from like a cool day of like hanging out with my friends or partying, whatever. And I'm driving home, and it's like 3 or 4 a.m. There's nobody on the street. I'm driving home all by myself. And I just feel, like, perfect. You know, everything's peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hustle and bustle. You just had a really good day. Things are cool, and you're going home to sleep.
That's kind of nice. actually, I do enjoy being in a car late at night, going somewhere with some quiet music and the dash lights and the whole thing. I mean, it's a nice little environment.
And you're like the only car on the road, and you're just like, this is usually very full of traffic.
Right, right. Very stressful. That's nice. Mm-hmm. I like that. Thank you very much for sharing it.
You're welcome.
So here's a question. There's lots of adults in the world who look at teens, look at people your age, and they sort of shake their head and think that teens and society in general are doomed for failure. Everything's going to H-E double hockey sticks in a handbasket. Here's the question I have for you.
Those are pessimists.
Those are pessimists, but there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them. And when you look at our media, you look at the news sort of feeds that. Lots of bad press on teens. Lots of bad press about what you guys are up to. A person who was, maybe we'll say, uneducated about the state of teens might think that all teens are really just a bunch of trouble and that they're going to inherit the earth and destroy it all. It's just going to be anarchy and bedlam. Here's my question for you. What do you think? Is this true? What do you think about their perceptions? What do you think about the whole teen situation right now? Yes, ma'am.
That just really sparked my interest because we have to do these exit exhibitions to graduate, and that's one of it is a 5 to 7 page scholarly paper, and that's exactly what my topic's on actually is how
excellent.
The media portrays teenagers to be these horrible people and how, you know, parents basically look down at their kids but they don't actually talk to their kids to find out why they're, you know, doing what they do. And it's like, yeah, it's really hard. Even like when I was going to school, I had a homeroom teacher, and he got so mad at you if you did not participate. He'd tell you how much of a loser you were because you were going to, you know, go into the real world and you were not going to survive because you didn't vote for ASB rep or something, you know. If you didn't show up at the assembly, you had no pride, you were never going to make it. And he'd spent, like, the entire, you know, 20 minutes telling us that. And, you know, I mean, you hear enough of that, and it's either you snap or you start believing it, or you just,
yeah,
you know, you tell the guy just to go somewhere else, and that's what I did, and I got kicked out. And but it's just really sad when people, even in, you know, when educators, they're educating kids, but yet they'll sit there and brainwash them to think that they're terrible people and stuff.
Well, I mean, I think, gosh, I hope that none of us will grow up to be, and I, you know, I'm 28 years old and I haven't grown up yet, but I hope none of us will react to humans in a way that we try to inspire them through fear or shame.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Like, you do this or you're a loser. I mean.
Yeah, it's really sad because then the kid just gets this really, so like, low self-image of themselves. And
well, then you don't want to participate.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I wouldn't.
It's like you lose all intuition, you lose all, you know, motivation. And
yeah.
You just start believing what they're telling you, and then you just become a statistic.
A very good point.
Yeah.
A very, very good point. Thanks for sharing that. Yes, ma'am.
Well, we had a really kind of passionate discussion earlier about this.
We did, yeah.
The generations thing, and actually, I'm glad Jeff's up here because we had very differing opinions. But I think people say that our generation hasn't struggled through anything, and that we are conceited or we are.
You've had everything handed to you.
Yeah, and we're not ready for what's going to happen if there is a war. Well, you know, when we're, you know, adults and we're taking care of the country or, you know, whatever, just because we're not struggling through something or we haven't done something extreme like in the 60s or whatever, I think at the moment we might not be working on something political or extremist. We might just be working on social aspects of life and how to define acceptance and tolerance of diversity of all kinds. Maybe we don't need to struggle through something. Maybe we're struggling through something different that no other generation has looked at.
Well, I would certainly hope so, and I think you might have hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's not about a generation isn't necessarily defined by its struggles. It's sort of defined by its successes.
I think we've achieved a lot, and I think I'm not saying that we're the most advanced. I mean, I really do wish there was more political activism and within, you know, teens and stuff, but at the same time, we're dealing with a whole lot more pressures than we've ever had to deal with because technologically we're so advanced that there's this huge pressure to, like, go to college and learn how to do all this new stuff that, you know, the adults are just learning about the people.
Right.
And so we have to learn about it now, you know, like all that stuff. I really am proud of being a teen right now, and I'm really proud of the things. I mean, we have a youth-run radio show. The people, the community, trust us to deliver quality shows, and that shows that they haven't given up all faith in us. And I'm really proud of being a teen, but I know some people really, you know, aren't.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. No, now, enter Jeff.
Hello.
That's scary.
I will conquer the world.
So anyway, Dr.
Because I was born in 1982.
That's so weird to hear people born in the 80s. It just blows my mind.
You're old.
I am. I know.
Yeah, about that generation thing.
Yeah.
I kind of think that, you know, a lot of people do think, you know, the older generation think that, you know, our generation's like the worst one, but you know, all the older generations throughout time have thought the next generation, you know, they're going to...
The previous, yeah.
The previous generation always thought the upcoming generation was going to be like the end of the world or something, you know, and...
I don't know. Do you think that that's true?
I don't think it's the end of the world. I just think they're... I think that... I mean, I've been thinking about this today, and I think that the previous generation is thinking that our generation is going to be... like a little less in morals, a little bit less in values and ethics, that sort of thing. And I think they're right for the most part. I mean, because you look at like the whole history from 1900s, it just, you know, we had, like, really strict morals. I mean, back into the Puritan days, strict morals, and then they just lessened and lessened and lessened and lessened, you know, until, like, now. And, you know, we're all for, you know, we're all for, like, you know, making things better or how we think they're going to be better.
Right.
You know, like, in technology or movie, having them show nudity and all that, you know. You know, I mean...
So those rules are sort of softening up, those sort of moral rules. Do you think that that's that works as a detriment to your generation?
Not really, because I just kind of go with it. I don't really care what they say. I mean, I believe that our generation or the next is, like, pretty much, you know, going to have some sort of renaissance or revolution or something that'll make the world different. Just because, you know, we think of, like, a better way or a worse way, depending on how you look at it, mm-hmm. of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel. I have no proof to back it up. I just feel that.
You just feel like in your gut that something big is going to happen with your generation or the generation that follows you.
Yeah, it's not like a prophecy or anything. If it is, like, I never said it was. But I just think that, you know, it's all building up to something. There's got to be something going to happen, you know. Something bad has to happen. I mean, you can't have peace forever. I mean, or at least relative peace. I mean, it'd be great if you could, but, I mean, history shows that it only lasts a little bit, and then...
And then something happens.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think that's interesting. I think it sort of reflects on Jeff's perceptions of sort of how the world works, and that you can't have it all good, and that makes some sense. I mean, you know, it definitely does. But then I also have to ask the question, can't it all be good?
It probably could, but now everybody's coming up to bash my opinion.
They're all coming up here to stomp on you. Yes.
I'm not bashing his opinion. I just want to say, like, with the older generation thinking that our morals have gone down the tube and just no one has any values at all, I think that our values are just changing. We're being more accepting. I think that this generation is a lot more open-minded than the ones before. I mean, there's still discrimination, but we're all changing, and there's people always trying to make things better. We don't have a war we're working through right now. I think something big's going to happen, too. I mean, we have wars every 20 years. It's just the way we work. But I think that we haven't. I mean, there's been bad stuff that happens, but looking at people individually, I think that teenagers are the most advanced right now than they've ever been. They're more into self-discovery. They might not be into politics as much as, you know, maybe they should be, but can you blame them, really? I mean, when they look at our government and they're just like, God, that's sick. I mean,
so they look at these sort of systems that are supposed to govern them, and they don't apply. They don't have any relevance to their lives.
And I hope that we'll get the motivation to just, you know, change it. You know, eventually we'll be of the age where we can make a difference, but we're sort of in the position right now where there really is nothing we can do. So can you blame us for not being as active as maybe we should try to be?
That's interesting. That's interesting. Thank you.
I just have something to say on what Jess said about, you know, it's impossible or something to have perpetual peace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if at the moment, because we're not struggling through, our generation isn't struggling through a war, isn't being, you know, taught how to deal with those circumstances, what if come 20 years from now, you know, we're adults, we're the voting population, we are in charge, and there's a threat, World War III threat. And just because we didn't struggle through it and we aren't prepared or we aren't into it or we just couldn't, what if everyone decided to become a pacifist just because we didn't have to be aggressive, you know, now? I mean, like, we don't have anything to fight. I mean, we have stuff to fight for. And I really think we're thinking in a really local, as in national, our nation, standpoint, because there are horrible things going on. There's genocide going on at this very moment. And I'm not saying that, you know, we can eliminate that completely, but we sure are making steps towards it. And I think because we're aware of that, because at the moment we're making, you know, at-home stances, we're going to start, when we're the voting population, we're going to be making bigger changes. And just because we didn't, you know, have something to kind of say, tell our kids how bad everything was when we were a kid, doesn't mean that's going to make, maybe that'll just mean it'll be easier for them. you know, our kids, because we didn't struggle through anything, so we know how to support a family, or we'll know how to take care of those things.
You know, I find it interesting. We're talking about, you know, wars and some of the larger events that have shaped sort of the psyche of entire generations, Vietnam and massive occurrences. But your generation has its own fair share of struggles and challenges. I mean, we're talking about everything from increase in drug and alcohol abuse to AIDS to violence issues, stuff like the Columbine shooting that we talk about quite a bit. All of those things I feel like must have some sort of effect on your generation in you know, varying ways, some very large, some not so large. I'm thinking about Columbine, but that pretty much changed the way that schools deal with kids.
Yeah, it really did. And I think our generation isn't defined by one. You're right, Vietnam defined the psyche of that generation, and there's still aftermath of that. I mean,
right.
But because we weren't we're defined by a bunch of little things like that, and it's hard for a teen to take the responsibility of something like that that isn't, you know, like Vietnam was not a teen's responsibility at the time, but the teens seem to have a lot to say on it, you know. But now, because of Columbine and school shootings like that, we teens have become defined by that, and we can't blame it on anyone else. And I can't say that I'm, you know, not a part of a problem, because I'm sure that there are people at school who just wish I wouldn't look at them in the way I do, or whatever, you know. But to be defined by something so horrible as a teen, and it to be a teen that, you know, shot and killed kids, I don't know. I don't think that is what teens are today, but I sure do think it is a problem. You know, I don't want to, you know, lessen the...
Downplay it, right?
Yeah, right.
Thanks. Hi.
Yeah. Well, I had to bring it back a couple notches because, like, the original reason why I stood up here was to, like, make a comment on the whole peace thing.
You take it where you want to take it.
Well, I will.
Please no. Do.
But, yeah, my comment on that peace thing, like, if you've ever seen that movie, The Matrix, that, like, towards the end, he talks about how the problem with humans, because, like, you know, they try to make this perfect world for us to live in, but we destroyed it. And it's just because humans have this huge array of emotions, and most of them are usually triggered towards the negative side, and that's why it's so hard to, like, have peace, and so many people are, like, so ignorant, that's why it's hard for them to accept. And that's, like, my whole, like, thing on peace.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because I think it makes a lot of sense. You have to work towards peace. You have to work towards getting, you know, creating those perfect moments in your life.
Yeah.
But people are quick to anger. They know that very intimately. They can be very angry very quickly. Being happy is something. I mean, how many times have you heard a person say wonderful things about you, but what you remember are the negative things that they've said?
Yeah, because the negative things are more scarring. They're easier to think of. It's like it's easier for some people just to be mad instead of, like, accept it and move on.
Right.
So that's my thing on peace. The Columbine thing, I think, I know it's, I can't really, I know some people are probably going to get mad at me for saying this, but I honestly think that the Columbine thing was, it wasn't a good thing that happened, but it helped open up a lot more eyes for people to see how ignorant kids are today and how much, like, I mean, you know, the generations are always talking bad about ours, and they're always sitting there saying all this negative stuff about teenagers, but they're not really there to sit down and talk to them and be like, well, look, you know.
That is such a good point.
Yeah, and so this, like, the Columbine thing, it was a terrible tragedy, but it also helped open up so many more eyes for them to see. It's like teenagers are actually going through a lot of stuff, and it's not just with them going through stuff with older people. It's going through stuff with people their own age having to deal with, you know, wanting to be accepted for who they are and not being accepted.
And I think that you make a very critical point. It is very, very easy for people to start pointing fingers and laying blame on a population of people, whether that be the kids or the parents of the kids, they kind of separate themselves from the problem as though they have no real responsibility for it, as opposed to...
It's easier to point the finger than to...
Than it is to sit down and to be a part of what makes it happen, to be a part of what makes it work. That's a really nice thing that you said. Great. Thank you very much. Chris, somebody, quickly. Chris doesn't have anything to say. All right, come on up.
Okay.
He came up and
well,
he forgot. He
was I lost my train of thought because that was interesting. But
yeah, that was good.
It was something about peace. Give me a minute.
Peace and love, peace and harmony.
Yeah. Oh, okay. About like all of our, the majority of our emotions being charged negatively and going towards negative things.
Right.
I think that the reason, like, you see like all these wars and things, but what are all those wars for? It's because everybody's has these different goals and what they think is good.
Right.
I think everybody really wants, you know, peace and harmony, but everybody has a different idea of it and makes them collide, and that's where you get all the bad mojo.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree. I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I think that there are definitely people want good things for their people. They want good things for their country, or it's the way we get there that sometimes...
I like to think that every person has an underlying good nature to them. They all want happiness. They all want to feel that they're accepted and they have love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everybody has their own idea of this, and they don't collide. They don't work together.
They don't
nicely.
Match. Yeah, yeah, they don't fit like a puzzle. Right.
Yeah. So I don't think people are bad. I think that they are all really good. It's just they aren't good together sometimes.
I agree. I think you've hit on something. Let me ask another question. Unless we have a comment, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a really quick comment to that. Like,
sure.
I think the reason why people like they act the way they do is because of the influences. You know, when you're born, you don't have the ideas of what's good and what's bad. You look and observe to like who's around you and what they teach you there, and that's why you see what your parents thought was good, and then you make your own, but you're always going to think, you know, okay, I had it worked out in my head. I just can't
verbally say it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of talking about values. And,
yeah,
and
it's just like, you know, I mean, the influence that people have, like the words they say, is, you know, you can say something, the meanest thing without even thinking twice, but it has like such a big impact on that one person.
Right.
But you, the way you grew up, you didn't think that was such a bad thing to say. And then the way they grew up, you know, and that's why it's like, it's another reason why it's hard for people to get along, just because, you know, when you're born, you have no clue what's right or wrong, but it's, you look around and you see whatever the people are teaching you, and that's what you learn from. And, you know, if they're teaching you, you know, be racist or, you know, be ignorant, and then that's what you're going to be. And it's going to take years to debrain yourself or whatever.
To debrain yourself. Yeah, to deprogram.
Brainwash yourself. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, to deprogram. I mean, that is definitely true. And I think that what is most insidious about that stuff is that there are times in life where you are being taught lessons that you don't even really realize. It's not like someone hands you a book that says you're going to dislike people of color. They're raised and they hear comments and they see reactions and body language and people communicate in so many different ways that, you know, by the time they grow up to make their own decisions, all these things are a factor in that. And so they're ignorant without there really being, I mean, and there are definitely those folks who are just blatant racists who make no bones about it. But yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. Very, very interesting. What I'd like to do is take a musical break. Nate. Nate's our producer today. He's doing a phenomenal job in there. Looks like he's napping. Hey, Nate.
What up?
What up, homie?
Yeah.
So, Nate, is someone going to play a song?
Maybe.
Who would that someone be?
Christine.
Christine is going to play a tune. Christine, do you know what you're going to play?
Yeah.
She says yes as she rushes to the microphone to say...
It's At Last by Etta James.
Etta James, tell me about her.
She is so awesome.
In what way?
She's really, just like a really good singer. This song is like my favorite song. It reminds me of my son. Because the lyrics are, At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over and my life is like a song. And I think that's so awesome. And it just, it's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. And I love it so much.
Very, very nice. Well, I can't wait to hear it. You're listening to Youth Voice here on 90.7 KSER Everett. Etta James, 90.7 KSER. That was nice. I thoroughly enjoyed that song. Very sweet, especially in the context to which it was introduced to us. Very romantic and sweet and all that good stuff. Here's a question for you. One of the comments that were made during the show is that because of who you are and the age that you're at, that you can't really make a difference. Do you believe that to be true? I mean, really, I just want to know, and I'm not trying to set anybody up here, but I just really want to know if you will feel as though your opportunity to make a difference in this world is removed somehow, that somehow you do not have the chance to give input on the systems that affect you, and so you therefore give up.
Okay, for me, I think it always feels to me like I myself can't make a difference. Like, it doesn't matter what I do. It's just, it's pointless. But I know I see other people doing it, and I know that, you know, they seem to succeed. They seem to make a difference, but it's so rare that a person actually can.
Talk to me. Define for me what making a difference means for you.
Like, make a difference, like you're able to change something that you think is wrong. Like, I mean, they're throwing things in here.
Troublemakers.
Yeah, like, I mean, if I see people throwing things at little kids and I want them to stop.
Then you can make a difference by telling
them. Yeah, I can.
But no, really, tell me about what making a difference in the world means.
Mean like people stopping, helping to stop pollution.
Okay.
People, helping to get guns off the street.
Okay, okay. Very important.
I mean, stuff like that, that's making a difference. And to me, it seems like no matter how hard I try, it's not going to make a difference.
So you sort of feel like yourself, you can't necessarily do it, but you know that people can.
Yeah, I know that there's people out there that can because they have the know-how. They know what needs to be done. They've actually put some effort into it. But to me, it's like I'll sit here and put effort and effort, and it's not going to do anything. There's no attention that's going to be brought to it anyway, so it doesn't seem like there's much point.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Yes, ma'am. Can people make a difference? Can youth, can people your age make a difference?
Like I said, people see me as very optimistic. I'm not to sound conceited, but I know I make a difference just because I do volunteer work at the elementary schools and I help first graders read.
Oh, tell me about that. And do you just love that?
Oh, my God. It's like the best thing in the world to see, you know, just to walk in there. That's like seriously the highlight of my day, my 3 hours every day at the elementary school. I just go in there, and little kids are like, hi, Kristen, hi, Kristen. They just, like, they go, come up, give me hugs, they give me pictures, and it's so much fun because it's just, like, you know, they're so innocent, and you're helping them do something that's going to, you know, you're helping them learn a really good skill that's going to help them later on in the future.
Isn't that nice? That is, that is exactly why I'm in the business I'm in, yeah.
And I love doing it, so I know I'm making a difference there just because, you know, I'm helping a kid read, and I know, you know, most people, they're like, oh, volunteer work, you know, you don't get paid. Well, duh, that's the point of volunteer. But
not to mention that the pay you get by knowing, I mean, to me it just sounds like you've got it.
It makes me so much happier. Yeah. It makes me so much happier. It's always made my day brighter whenever I go in there. And it's just like, you know, little things like that. When I worked at Subway, I'd always had to have a happy face just because, you know, I was working with the public. But, you know, if, like, somebody came in and they just looked really, really mad and they just were, like, completely just, like, you know, down and low, I'd try my hardest to make them, you know, happy. And, you know, if they left smiling, I'd feel so much better just because I know I changed that person's, you know, mood in that
little bit of time. What a nice way to look at the world. Now imagine a one person doing that, that's pretty neat. But imagine because you did that, that person went home and that person was a little bit cheerier and they made their family a little bit happier and that went out from there to, you know, who knows where it would stop.
Because, like, with my brother, he's really, I mean, I know he's probably listening to me, but seriously, he's, like, really pessimistic. He does a lot of things, he used to do a lot of things that I didn't agree with. Adolf Hitler, and they changed the world significantly, you
That's
know,
very
this one
true.
Person. It's just you had to know how to motivate people to think the way you think, whether it be negative or positive.
That's very, I think you make a very, very good point. I think there are two sides of the coin, and you can choose which side that you're going to be a part of. You can either make a difference or not. I mean, actually, there's probably three. You can aggressively make things hard on the world around you and yourself. You can aggressively try to make things better for other people, or you can just kind of sit there complacently.
Yeah, like not do anything.
And be a victim of whatever.
But I like what I do. I change the world.
Very nice. Yeah. Very, very nice. Very inspirational. Yes, Lena?
My favorite quote in the world is, well, one of two is, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that goes all the way down into preschool years. You can, I can list things that I've seen teens do in the last food bank, 30-hour famine, WTO protesting or demonstrations, Jubilee 2000. There are so many things, bigger things, but like Kristen said, you can teach a kid how to read, you can go collect, you know, one can of food and give it to one family, and that might be a meal that they wouldn't have had before, you know.
Right.
You can make a difference no matter how young you are. There's no line that says, okay, now it matters what you do or what you think or how you help.
But Lena, why do you think that people feel like they can't make a difference? Why do you think that people come from the perspective that, I mean, I've heard kids say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I say. I am not significant in the scheme of things.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Other people or themselves downplaying their significance. We could be, you know, like, you can be a grain of sand on a beach, but if, you know, every single grain of sand decided they weren't worth it and spontaneously disappeared, there wouldn't be a beach there, you know?
Whoa, that's deep.
You know, like, good. I mean, we all matter to a certain, to somebody. It's like, if we were to, like, if I was to not be here,
oh, like, It's a Wonderful Life, like that movie.
Sure, sure, okay. I get where you're going with this.
Actually, can I dedicate, like, 2 minutes to a song that I heard? It's a country song, and it's sure. so cheesy. I mean, like, I seriously have...
Are you
going
to sing it?
No, I'm not going to sing it, but it's like...
Sing it.
This woman's driving down the highway, and her car breaks down, and this guy stops, and, like, he pulls over, he's like, I'll help you, and he helps, and she goes, how can I repay you? And he's like, well, blah, 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 by the way, my name's Joe. The only thing you could do is don't let the chain of love stop with you. And then she, like, drives down farther, and she goes to this diner, and she couldn't stop thinking about Joe and how he helped her. And
right.
And there's this waitress, and she's 8 months pregnant and still on her feet. And she and she serves it, and then to tip her, she gives her $100 bill to go cash, and she just leaves without getting her change. And the waitress, you know, cried, blah, 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 and went home that night to her husband, who was asleep, and climbed into bed and whispered in his ear, I love you, Joe. And
that's nice,
I was laughing
entire
time, because it was seriously like that, the do-do-do-do-do, and it was really hard for me to take serious, but then I was listening to the words, and I was like, you know, if this wasn't country music, this would be really, really cool, you know?
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, our feelings towards country music aside, I think you only have to be a human being to say those kinds of things are important. I mean, you know what I mean?
You can help one person, and that's all that matters. And as a teen, you can help one person. And I kind of wasted my time at the mic, so I'm going to leave now.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Do, 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 do. Yes, sir.
It is indeed a wonderful life.
Isn't it, Jeff?
But the question I have...
What?
Whatever happened to Zuzu's petals?
I'm sorry?
Whatever happened to Zuzu's petals?
Come again?
Zuzu's petals.
I'm not sure I know who Zuzu's petal is.
You know, on It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh. Were they missing or something?
No, Zuzu's petals. Remember, the guy goes in and tucks his youngest daughter in, and she goes, I got a flower today, and she goes, but the petals came off. Paste it, Daddy, and he puts the petals in his pocket.
Oh.
Whatever happened to her petals?
I don't know. I bet he's got them in his pocket.
Probably. But anyways, that was a long time ago, and they're probably, yeah. Anyways, about the topic.
Yes.
I don't think that one person, as just one person, can actually make a difference. Because you would need the masses to make a difference, you know? I mean, any type of, you know, person, political leader, military leader, whatever, you know, someone who stands up for what they believe in is going to get bashed down if they don't have a following or a gathering of people that support that cause, you know? So it's kind of like divided... Or united we stand, divided we fall.
Sure, sure. You know? But it's got to start somewhere, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it starts with one person. But that one person cannot hold the whole thing on his or her shoulders without it all falling down on that person. And so, you know, that's why I believe that one person as an individual can't hold something like that, can't make a difference without people who believe in the same thing as he does. Or she does.
Okay. Sure,
excuse
sure.
Me.
I was
talking about Martin Luther King.
Yeah, definitely. But. I mean, well, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, one person is sort of a monologue, but that can be the inspiration for a movement.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good stuff. Lena?
Well, I can disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay.
Gandhi, for instance.
Get real close to that microphone.
Gandhi, for instance.
Don't listen, she's Canadian.
Let's be nice
Canadian
to Canadians.
Can make a difference, too. Gandhi... led this movement. He single-handedly, and I can, his followers doubted him. His followers still rioted when he went for peace. And so he alone fasted, and then they stopped because they knew they needed him. They needed him. He walked, 270 miles to the ocean to prove that you could make salt out of salt water? He did that, and they followed him. He had a 4-mile chain of people behind him because they believed in him. And every time he stopped the movement because he got he saw that their violence wasn't stopping, everything would stop. It was just him. And I'm not saying that one person can bring world peace, but one person can get can make a difference. One person can make a difference, and some people rely on that one person to start it because they won't do it.
Right, or they can't do it, or they don't know how to do it. Yes, ma'am.
I agree with her.
Okay.
Okay. I think that even if it's just a completely minuscule thing, it can turn into a big thing. It's like a little seed turns into a flower.
Mm-hmm.
It's every little thing, even if it doesn't have immediate results. And thank you for that demonstration. Even if it's just smiling at someone when you're walking by the street, that could make them feel better, and they could be on their way to making a life-altering decision. You never know. It's just, even if you're not aware of it, and even if you don't notice, it's everything makes a difference, and one person definitely can, yeah.
I hear you. I believe that. I do believe that. Yes, sir.
I believe with the previous two. I think one person can make a difference, even if it's the smallest thing. I personally wouldn't go out and, like, join a big, like, WTO thing and try to help out that way. How I help people is usually I go out and I try to, you know, I could be in the worst of mood, but if I see someone else, you know, I know somebody, I'm not going to say their name.
Right, right.
But, yeah, they can be in a really bad mood, and I'll go out of my way and everything. My goal is to make them happy by at least the end of the day, and I know because, you know, they might be doing something after school that might affect, you know, their mood might affect what they do. And
but I think that that's fairly noble. I mean, I think that our highest calling in the world is to work to help people feel better about life in general. I mean, to know that they're connected, to know that somebody cares about you,
yeah,
is that makes the world of difference in someone's life.
I think that's the most thing that anybody, one person can do to me.
That's one of the most important things.
You can do a couple big things, you know, but it's always the little things that always count.
I hear you.
It's always going to, you know.
I hear you. Very nice. Very nice.
Yes,
and I believe that wholeheartedly. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just a little comment on, because, like, you know, I believe that, yeah, one person can make a difference. I think maybe the reason why some people think that one person can't make a difference is because they think as in differences as, like, these huge things, you know, like wars being stopped or, you know,
ending hunger.
Yeah,
or
just like, you know, they look at differences being this huge thing that everybody has to see. But, you know, like they said, it's the little things that count, because it's the little things that build up to the bigger thing that
right.
gets shown. And it's like I was this whole thing just like made me think of this thing, this story I read in, what was it, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Oh,
yes,
man,
I read those
book.
Books.
They
I know.
Kill me. They
and
kill me.
It's this little girl, and she's walking up and down the beach, and she's tossing starfish into the water. And this guy comes up, and he's like, you know, why are you doing that? He's like, that's not going to matter. You know, they're all going to die eventually, blah, blah, blah. And he's just totally, you know, making her trying to make her feel bad. And she tosses another one in. She goes, well, it made a difference to that one. You
yeah.
know, and she just continues doing what she does.
I read that story.
Yeah,
I
and
know
it's,
what you're talking
it's
about.
So true, because it's like, I know, you know, if you do it, you know, if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it, or if you do it, you know, somebody might not. But it's a matter, it's like not so much like how you shouldn't look at it like that. You should look at it like, okay, if I do this, how am I going to feel? How am I going to make a difference in a good way or a bad way? You shouldn't look at it like, if I don't sell this bag of weed, somebody else's, so I should do it anyways.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you got to look at it like, you know, am I going to be happy with myself after I do this, you know? And it may not make this huge difference. It may not make, you know, all the pounds of weed stop being sold. But if you don't sell that one sack, you know, some person, you know, a pregnant mother might not have smoked that, and her child may not grow up to be blah, 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 you know?
Right.
It's
And we can think about it in those terms, but you can also think about it in the fact that, you know, what can you stand firm on? What can you say, I did this because it's important, not just to me, but to the community, or not just to me, but I'm working to build a better world by the way that I'm treating individuals, and stand on that and be proud, as opposed to the surreptitious sort of hiding of, you know, I mean, people who are selling dope out on the street aren't walking around saying, yeah, I just sold some more dope. I'm so proud of myself. I mean,
it's like, yeah, they're making it. They're totally making a difference, but it's like in a bad way. And it's just like, if you're strong enough and you believe in yourself enough, you know, you can hold strong to your morals, and you can still try to try your best to make the difference, whether it be in good or bad way.
Right.
And
right.
even as one person, as long as you know who you are and what you want to do, and you stay with that, you know.
I like it. Let's make a difference for that one starfish. Yep.
Yeah.
I hear you. Another comment. Yes, sir.
Yeah, with the whole make a difference thing, I think that as long, you know, I go out and if you help one person, that other person might turn around and help another person, and that person is a big chain, or they could help a big group of people, and it's just, you know, go out and, I don't know where I was going with this.
But I do know, I know what you're saying, and it's sort of been the theme of this portion of the show, and that is one inspiration leads to another, leads to another, and then it's just this, like you say, it leads to a larger sort of change in the way we do things.
It also helps yourself, because you see that you're making someone else happy, and therefore comes and makes you happy. And
yeah, very nice.
And it might affect their decision. If they're going to make a bad decision, you know, maybe use suicide, you know, and they might be really depressed. And
mm-hmm. Gosh, you just never, oh, that reminds me of another story that I read in Chicken Soup for the Soul about do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, you don't read those? Come here. You don't read the Chicken Soup for the Souls?
No.
Why?
Only geeks read those, Troy.
Oh, man. I'm not even... I'm deflecting those negatrons because those books are so sweet.
At least I'm not distracted by flowers.
Yeah.
Flowers and shiny objects are cool.
You're
okay.
Like a raccoon or something collecting shiny objects. Anyway. But anyway, you have something to share about people making a difference?
Yeah, I was just agreeing with... Okay, hold on. Okay, thanks. Okay, sorry, very short person.
Sorry, shorty.
But yeah, it's just like, okay, a butterfly sneezes and the mountain falls over.
Or something to that effect. Yeah,
you know, I totally agree with that. One person. It's like, you know how people are always like, you know, that really made my day. Well, there you go.
Make somebody's day.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, I like the way that we're talking. I think that this is important stuff. I want to go to a music break, but I know that Jeff's busting to say something. Sure. Yes, my friend.
About the make my day thing?
Yeah.
I saw in a movie once where this guy goes, "Go ahead, Kappa, make my day." Is that what you're talking about?
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about making someone happy.
Oh, okay.
Making someone happy, yes. I'm glad you rushed to the microphone to clarify that, because I would hate for you to be confused as we move into our musical break. Nate, what's cooking?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if you wanted to do a music review.
We should have Lena share her experiences and the review. You want to do a review? No?
Yes.
Yes, you're going to do a review.
Yes. Chewing gum and trouble.
I hate it. No gum chewing in here.
I'm sorry.
It's against the rules.
Whatever. I'm a rule breaker.
You are a rule breaker. All right.
Okay, Monday and Tuesday, Everett Performing Arts Center, there was an awesome concert put on called Heart of the City. It happened last year, too. This year was a benefit for the Providence Children's Center, and included in the venue was not only Just the Facts, which is a great jazz group, Tony Coleman Band. Tony Coleman was the touring drummer for B.B. King for 12 years, and Bird of Passage, which is a great local band that I hope maybe next week I'll get a bit of them on.
They're great.
They are very talented. They are very talented. They are like laid back, kind of jazzy, sublime, great vocals. It's a great local band. And also, the Heart of the City All-Stars, which consisted of Chris Barron on vocals, Chris Barron from Spin Doctors, that multi-platinum, Grammy Award-nominated, blah, 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 artist, Mark Cardenas on piano, toured with Prince and Purple Rain, Kevin Peachy Smith, or something like that. He played the Hammond. He was amazing. He does a lot of recording. Great horn section. Gregor Lothian from Everett High School, one of the most talented kids I've ever met. So many great artists. And Danny Mangold from Danny's Music played guitar. Amazing guy. Ben Smith on drums. Just an amazing group of people. And this year we had the extreme fortune of having Ann Wilson from Heart.
Yeah,
and the Lovemongers come and play, opening the set before Chris. And it was amazing. She's got a set of pipes on her.
No kidding.
Just blew everyone away. I mean, her set was like really eclectic and kind of weird at times, but it was still amazing to hear her sing.
Kind of weird at times. What do you mean? Was it
weird?
What
I mean,
sort
like
of
some like
carp, you know, I'm on the top of the world looking down on
really,
you. Know,
really?
Like, and she did like a Beautiful Stranger cover, you know, some weird stuff. It's kind of funny.
Beautiful Stranger, the
Madonna.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
It was really interesting. So also on the concert nights, they released last year's album, which was the same group of people minus the specific opening bands. Last year we had different opening bands, but the same Heart of the City All-Stars. And so that we released the album from last year, the live album.
Nice.
So I'm going to play Papa Was a Rolling Stone off of last year's Heart of the City concert. If you want the CD is great. It's like great jam music, all great Marvin Gaye covers, Bob Dylan, some Spin Doctor stuff. You can get it at Danny's Music.
So just stop by and check it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's Papa Was a Rolling Stone off of February 13th, 1999's Heart of the City All-Star concert.
Ow!
The Heavenly Voice, ladies and gentlemen, the Heavenly Voice.
Thank you.
There you go. Something from Heart of the City. Last year's Heart of the City, right? Yeah. Right, Lena?
Yeah.
Lena Warrior Princess. I just have to say that we are blessed, this little group of ours. We have so many fans, so many adoring fans, so many great friends of the show that pop in every once in a while. One of those great friends, one of our most favorite friends, is Radio Mom. Radio Mom happens to be the mother of Nathan, our producer extraordinaire. Now, Radio Mom brought us in some treats. Now, I want to tell you that if you want to be a part of the show, you want us to like you, bring us treats.
Especially if you can imitate.
Ooh, these are like frangos, man. Good, good stuff. And we ate them during the break, so we won't be smacking our lips during the show. Right, kids? All right. You know, we're having a very interesting conversation about who we are as people, how we relate to society, how society relates to us, our impressions of society's impressions on us. Very, very deep conversations. And we ended before that musical break discussing if one person can make a difference. The general consensus is one person can make a difference because that's the beginning of bigger things and better things, which I think is a very nice thought, a very positive way to look at life, and I think a little contrary to what people may see as the current state of teens today. Important to recognize that, I think. Here's a question for you. How does intuition play a role in your life? Do you know what it is? Do you feel it? Do you feel it working in your life? Do you feel as though you are an intuitive individual? And for that matter, define intuition for me.
Intuition is that gut feeling that something is right or wrong or meant to happen. And I feel it on a daily basis. And I think sometimes I rely on it a little bit too much.
In what regard?
Well, like, you know, that gut feeling, whoa, there's been some spontaneous vocalization in here. That gut feeling that, like, something's going to happen, so then you stop, like, putting any effort into getting there.
Right.
But, like, intuition, like, with a person, I love that feeling because it helps so much. Like, I had such a negative feeling about this one person that was very involved in my life for a while. And from the day one, I didn't know what it was. And every time someone asked me what it was, I couldn't pinpoint it. But I was so passionate about this intuitive feeling that it, like, messed everything up. And then it ended up coming true. And somebody...
So your gut reaction was true.
And this is, you know, like, in middle school when I didn't know what intuition was. And somebody said to me, you've got really good intuition. And that gave me a big ego. And but it really was true. This, like, intuitive feeling that I had came true. But then, like, there's people that, friends that I've made this year in particular, like new friends that I don't know what it is, but there's something really special about these people that, like, they might be very different than what, like, the feeling that I get from them, or they might have very different personalities than me. But I can't help but be intrigued by them because there's something about them that I want to get to know more about.
Right, right.
And that has just made the difference in, like, my social life and, you know, day-to-day life, because I just have these great positive feelings about people.
Which is wonderful. That's very, very nice. Yeah, very nice. Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, I have a story for you guys. Okay. But ever since when I was in sixth grade, I realized that... I overthought everything way too much. I took me, like...
Just analyze things to death.
Yes, it took me weeks and months and years to make decisions or whatever. And important decisions would just send me, like, into shock.
Sure, sure.
So I made a mental decision that I would start... And when I... Okay, backtracking. And when I... eyelashes are falling into my contacts. But, okay. Yeah, but I realized that when I went on my first instinct, most things would turn out right. Like, I got it right. So I made a mental decision then to try to follow my instincts and my intuitions and...
To go with your gut more.
And go with my emotions.
Yeah.
And feel on that more. And skip ahead, like, 10 years later.
Yeah.
It has really helped me a lot. Like... If somebody feels creepy, and I, like...
They give you that vibe.
Yeah, and then you stop kind of, like, being alone with them in a dark room. that can be a good thing, because you'll learn other scary things about them later. Or if you, somebody, like everybody says, oh no, they're creepy, but you're like, no, they're nice, I get this good vibe from them. Then, you know, and you start hanging out with them, you find they're really interesting people. Or, you know, things like, oh, I don't think, I'll just spend like 5 more minutes here because I know I need to stay here for 5 more minutes. And then you leave and you realize an accident like happened like right before you left.
It's kind of interesting because I think we sort of blend the lines between intuition and gut feelings and sort of like a psychic phenomena almost. But, you know,
coming from your resident astrologer.
There we go. That's right. That's right. But yeah, that's very true. I think people, if they've that your gut has something, your first reaction, your take on a situation can be fairly accurate without, I mean, there are those moments you just get that feeling. You just get that feeling right in your stomach that either says this works or it doesn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of the same feeling you get when you're excited about something. You know, it happens right in that same spot. And if it's right, it feels right. If it's not right, you feel it.
And I've noticed that since I've been trusting them a lot more often, and I go, like, if I'm making a decision, like red or blue, and just blue just feels right. I've been getting them a lot more often. I've been getting more feelings about things a lot more often than before.
So you using more or depending more on your intuition has sort of honed your skills a bit too.
Yeah,
very interesting. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Hello, my friend.
Hi.
Talk to me about intuition.
Okay. I think for me, if I were to listen to my intuition all the time, I'd be on a street corner begging for quarters.
You think so?
Well, yeah, because, like, I have the worst in the world. Like, say, the guy, like, he walks past me, and I'm like, oh, I bet he likes me now. And he's just playing hard to get. And then, like, the next second he'll walk past, and I'll be like, hi. And he goes, hey, you. And he'll say, like, a name that isn't even mine.
Hello, Betty. I mean...
I mean, wait.
Veronica. What's your name again?
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so it's like, if I were to listen to it all the time, I mean, I'd be totally just out on the street. I'd have the worst luck in the world. I mean, I should have probably kept my job because, you know, I was going to have a kid, but I didn't.
Right.
I quit
right.
it. And it, you know, even though I didn't like working there, I think I should have kept it. My intuition said, go ahead and quit. You know, you'll be fine. You'll find another job right away. Here it is, like, 6 months later, and I don't have a job, pretty much need one, but my intuition told me I should quit, so I did.
You know, that's a very interesting comment, because I think you're right. The reality is that for some people, intuition can work as sort of the real deal. For other folks, it's not a reality. I mean, that they've got, they can't just work on good or bad vibes. They gotta have the facts. Mm-hmm. They've got to do the deal and make it right, or things kind of mess up a bit.
Yeah, I always mess up my intuition. It's just like, I sit there and debate about it too. Like, if it tells me, like, go ahead and do something, I'll sit there and debate about it in my head forever. Like, not as bad as Jessica. I won't sit there and think about it for years. I mean, I'll go ahead and make the decision, but then after I make the decision, I'll sit there and go, wait, that was the wrong decision, wasn't it? I'll do that. So, I mean, I know my intuition is messed up, and there's nothing I can do about it, and I just sit there and dwell on all the mistakes that I made after I go ahead and make them.
I hear you. Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like we've got some intuition building to do.
Yeah.
Anyone else with some thoughts on intuition before we move on to the next question?
Slowly, slowly.
Here she comes, and she's arrived.
Oh, I'm sorry, Christine. You're, like, so, like... It's okay. You need a hug.
I know. She's having
an intuition
deficit.
I mean, it's like I have this really like happy-go-lucky personality, and I'm really optimistic. So it's like when I hear people like talk so bad about themselves, it's like I feel kind of bad to know that they, you know, they feel like that.
Right, right.
And so I wanted everybody to know that Christine's really a really good person.
Yes, she is. Yeah, she's definitely one of our favorites.
She's like always there whenever I need her. So she's really not as bad as she makes herself out to be if she needs to quit.
See, we're making a difference.
Yeah, because when I was at like my lowest point, she was like there for me. And
very
she's
nice.
Really this great person. She just like tries to sound like, you know.
It sounds to me like bad. Your intuition said that we needed to share some good information with Christine.
Yeah, Christine's a good person, man. She
Christine's
just doesn't believe
it. So what do you think about intuition?
I think... it's, I don't know, it just, it differs from person to person, you know. With me, I have this thing, I'm really stubborn, I believe that I'm always right, no matter what. And so it's like tuition or not, you know, argument or not, no matter what, I'm right, and that's how it is. And so, yeah, I have a huge problem with that, and I have issues with that, and so I don't believe in intuition. I mean, I kind of do, but then I kind of don't. It's just this whole thing, like, if I make a decision, regardless of what happens, it may have been a mistake or it may not have been. I always
but that's
look at
your
it,
choice. You
yeah,
made,
it was a choice I made.
That.
I believed I was right. If not, you know, I learned a lesson from it. So
I hear you.
Yeah, even if your tuition's wrong, you know, later on down the line, you will see, no matter how bad the situation was, there's always a reason for it happening. And I've learned that. I've had to learn that repeatedly. So.
Gotcha. Thank you very much for sharing that. You know, I want to talk a little bit as we're moving into the last 10 minutes of the show. We had a very interesting conversation during our meeting today, and if you're not familiar with Youth Voice, it is a program that runs every Sunday. It's a youth-run radio talk show. When I say youth-run, I mean it is youth-run. Kids push the buttons, they pick the topics, they develop the shows. I am simply an adult that makes sure that they don't light things on fire, as they are so want to do, as they often try to do. In any event, we started talking at our meeting at the Everett Family Y that we have every Sunday to clarify the show's topic for the day, that a statement was made that you're not really your own person, that you are only made up of the outside forces, that the things that influence you in your life are all external, and you're not an individual, you're all purely made up of other people. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Is there such a thing as being your own human being? Are you, I mean, individuality is a concept, obviously, but is it true? Do you feel like you're your own self? Do you feel like you are an individual, or do you feel like you're sort of a cog in the wheel of humanity, or the machine of humanity?
I know, that just made a really nice
sound. It did, but that's all right.
I'm sorry, I'm just taller than these people.
You are tall.
Yeah, okay, I kind of agree with that. I kind of don't, because like I said with the whole peace thing, like when you come into the world, you have like no idea what's going on, and you have to rely on your parents to influence you in either a good or bad way, you know, and you just like basically like when you go to school, they teach you blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, I mean, you are basically made up of your experiences in life, and you're made up of influences from other people and other people's ideas. But then again, you make your own ideas to influence other people. You know, if you have strong morals, then that basically makes you who you are. You know, your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas, you know, you can't, unless you copy them from somebody else, those are yours.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, you're kind of, it's like, I kind of agree with that because, you know, you have to be influenced somewhere along the line to get your inspiration. But eventually you become your own person. You have your own ideas. You have your own opinions. You have your own way of dealing with things, unless you're just like a total follower and then you copyright everything and blah, blah, blah.
Got it. But, got it. Thank you. Yes.
I think everyone is born into the world as being an individual. It's just that the people around them help to influence their own opinions. I mean, you know, when you're born, you're not automatically sitting here going, I think the death penalty is wrong. It's just that as you grow older, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know what you feel is right and wrong. And the people around you just help to, you know, help you to build your opinions up. So that way, you know, because I mean, I didn't know anything about the death penalty. And my dad was sitting there telling me his opinions. And I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then the next day we were talking about that in class and everyone else was totally, they had the opposite opinion than I did.
Right, right.
And it's just like, my dad didn't influence my opinion. I mean, that was my opinion to begin with. And he just helped me to be able to express it more. He helped to make it so that I...
He kind of helped you find the words that defined how you already felt.
Yeah, helped me understand it more.
Helped you to find the words that help you define how you felt. There you go.
Yes.
Very nice. Very good.
Hello.
Hello!
I think that we all pick up little pieces of everything, and we all end up, you know, we have people that we inherit things from, like our parents. We end up liking certain types of food and look at things a certain way. Well, look at certain things. But in the end, it's the way you take it. You have all these pieces that are given to you by different experiences and different people, but it's how you choose to look at it and how you choose to use them. I mean, everybody is unique, even though we're made up of the same things. It's like a person's body.
we all have hands and feet, well, majority of us, you know, but they're all different. It's like fingerprints. We all have fingerprints, but they're all different. You know, we all have minds. We all have thoughts. We all grew up differently, but, you know, parents, whatever. But it's, everybody has their own unique perspective, whether depending on how they got it or not.
Very nice. Yes, ma'am.
I think even if we're all made up of pieces, all we are pieces of everybody else and everybody else's feelings and viewpoints,
mm-hmm.
and all that lovely stuff and genetic, how you're going to react to certain things or whatever, then if we're made up of all a bunch of different things from all random places, then that just makes you an individual right there, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you are a unique recipe of influences and genetic material and experiences and all of those things.
Exactly.
And you could not be recreated. The individual that you are right now.
Because your whole being is too random for...
Yeah.
No cloning.
Well, there you go.
Raw.
But I mean, even if you think about cloning, I mean, cloning, you can clone yourself. But who's to say that that clone, that piece of you that develops is going to be like you? Because
exactly.
It's going to have the different experiences. It is going to have different sorts of...
That's like saying you can never know exactly how another person feels because you do not have all their accumulated experiences.
That's right. That's right. Very good point. Very interesting. Yes, my friend.
Actually, okay, I already said my piece on this. I was wondering, since there's like 5 minutes left, if I could do my promotion since I didn't get to do it last week.
You know, why don't you do your promotion? I know that Lena's got something she needs to share as well. So pop up to the microphone, Lena, and after she's done, then you can share yours as well. But please do.
Okay. So yeah, this is just out to all the, basically the artists, like the breakers, the graffiti writers, the singers, the rappers, the rockers, anybody who, all the artists that think they have talent, who think they're talented enough, start perfecting your talents because Head First Production is coming this summer and we will be looking for you. If you do not find us, we will be looking for you. And so just start getting your act together and you shall show the world how good you are. So just, you know, my little promotion to
all
those people.
So keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Head First Production.
Head First Productions. Lena, dear.
Hey. I just am involved in something really neat, and I kind of wanted to share what I saw on TV today on C-SPAN. Yes, I do watch C-SPAN.
You would.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many of you have heard of Jubilee 2000. I was first introduced to it at WTO, and I was immediately interested. It's a movement for debt cancellation for third world countries. Because in reality, there's no way they will ever be able to pay it off. Third world countries, there are people dying in there because of hunger, curable diseases, because the government is paying money to us, and we really don't need that money. We have a debt of our own, and we're never going to pay it off either. But this morning on C-SPAN, they were forming a human chain around the U.S. Capitol, to show solidarity, and it was really amazing. Like Travis Guan spoke for Africa, talking about slavery and how we took them, so they don't owe us. You know, we owe them. Not saying that, you know, slavery is still enacted, but like, why should they be paying us money now? They already took so much of their history and their life and their just everything, their culture. Dorothy Scott performed. I'd never heard of her before, but I really liked the song she sang. I don't know. Look out for Dorothy Scott. Also, Don Driscoll Shaw, who was the Jubilee 2000 USA national coordinator, said something really interesting, that there used to be 1.2 billion, not million, billion people living on $1 a day. It increased to 1.5 billion. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, they sounded the call of Jubilee as it was sounded in biblical times through a ram's horn. They formed a human chain to demonstrate solidarity around the Capitol. Marie Dennis from Mary Nell Office for Global Concerns said something really interesting when they were forming the chain, that the winds of the spirit seem to be blowing towards the U.S. Capitol building.
So they formed this wonderful chain around the building, and it was cold and windy, but, you know, artists and speakers and musicians and students of all ages supported just and stayed. It was just amazing. So if you want more information, you can go on the web to search for Jubilee 2000. I would really strongly advise you get at least educated on this, because it's such a big issue, and it's an amazing movement.
Absolutely. Sounds very fascinating. I want to encourage you as well, if there's something that we said on today's show that sort of snagged your mind, or you've got some input, questions for the kids, or an idea for a future show, do me a favor, contact us. You can do that in one of two ways. You can email us. That's youthvoice@hotmail.com. youthvoice@hotmail.com, or you can give me a call at the office. My voicemail is on 24 hours a day, so you can certainly let us know how you feel, and we would be more than happy to address your comments, your concern, your question. You can call me at 425-258-9211, extension 106. That's 425-258-9211, extension 106. Let us know what you think, because we love your feedback. We love to hear that people are listening, and we certainly love our friends who listen to KSER, because that's adventurous radio for you. 90.7 is. I think we're running out of time. Nate, how much time do we have?
Not much.
Not much time. I want to encourage you to stay tuned, because up next is my favorite show. It's Pastors of Plenty. Pastors of Plenty with Dave Moody. He's going to play some... He's going to play you just plenty of music. Yes, Lena, you have something to say?
No.
You're just being a dork.
Yeah.
Folks, thanks so much for listening. I hope you've had a wonderful Sunday. I know that we have. And have a wonderful week. Be good to other people, and they'll be good to you. Take care. Bye.